And that is the first two verses of the hymn we're going to be taking a look at today on this, what is the date? May the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me on this Rumination Tuesday is Reverend Mark Smith.
Hi, Tom. How you doing on this glorious, glorious spring day, this Eastertide? It is just beautiful out, isn't it?
It's not raining.
It's not raining. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Everything's green out there, and the red buds are blooming. The pink dogwoods. It's just beautiful.
And the blue daffodils.
I love this time of year. Yes,
oh, you do.
I love this time of year. You bet.
Yeah, I got home last night, and my wife was killing all the daffodils.
Oh, how come?
Well, they're terrible. They grow up in your lawn.
You're talking about dandelions.
Oh, is that what it was?
Big difference.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. You're right. I hope she was killing the right stuff. We're taking a look at a hymn. This is interesting. They believe it was written by an individual, St. Columba, who died in 597. And it's actually a Latin hymn. And this is the second part of the Latin hymn. But the first time that we see it in a hymn book is in Ireland in 1869.
Oh, really?
Yes. This is translated by Duncan MacGregor.
Duncan MacGregor.
1897 is when it was first used at an evening service where he preached during a commemoration of St. Columba.
Uh-huh. Now, it says tune is Irish, and it sounds Irish.
Yes, it is a tune. It's an adaptation of a traditional Irish melody for Scorching Is This Love, a complete collection of Irish music, as noted by George Petrie. He wrote that in 1902. The harmonization is by Charles Herbert Kitson, and is contained in the church hymnal with tunes. That's found in 1919. So, isn't that something? Almost 1,300 years between the time it was written before it appeared in an Irish hymnal.
How about that? Boy, yeah. I'll tell you.
And
how do they have record of all these old Latin hymns, huh? I mean, how do those... Who holds on to those, for crying out loud?
People who speak Latin. The Roman Catholic Church. Well, sure.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yes. It's like asking who keeps the records of all those Bible books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Columba, like I said, was 521 to 597. That's 6th century. So that's like 600 years.
We're still using that hymn. Isn't that something?
Well,
talk about a connection with, you know, the church of all ages.
Not only a connection with that, it's also, as we're going to see, a pretty good hymn for the Ascension.
It is. Yeah, you're right. More than I thought.
Yes. So, without further ado, would you please be so kind to read the first stanza?
Christ is the world's Redeemer, the lover of the pure, the font of heavenly wisdom, our trust and hope secure. The armor of his soldiers, the Lord of earth and sky, our health while we are living, our life when we shall die.
Now, we're going to be talking about in the gospel this Sunday, Jesus says he is not of the world, we are not of the world, etc. But here it says Christ is the world's Redeemer. I can understand that. But then it says the lover of the pure. So, he only loves the pure?
No.
Well, why does it say that?
God so loved the world.
I know. So, is this him contradicting that?
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, you're correct. But why? It really...
Just because he says he loves the pure doesn't mean that's not to the exclusion of others.
Well, he must be meaning something different with the word love than God so loved the world. I'll give you a Bible verse. It's two names. So-and-so I love, the other I hated.
Yeah, oh yeah. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated.
Yes. Right. Excellent. Right.
Doesn't mean that he did not love Esau.
Very good. Yes. In other
words.
But
he does have his favorites, right?
Well, no, he has what is following his will.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. In the lesson this last Sunday, he says he shows no favoritism.
No favoritism at all. But he does make a decision who is going to be in the line to the Messiah.
Right. That's right.
Now, one would have thought when he gave the promise to Adam and Eve that through Eve would come the Messiah, you would think that would be the firstborn, Cain. But it was not.
No.
Then you would think it would be the secondborn, Abel, but he got murdered, so it was not. It was his other son, Adam's other son.
Seth?
Yes, that became the line.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'd forgotten that.
I know, so had
Seth,
I until I...
Seth is the line that the Messiah came through.
Yes.
Not, well, obviously not through Abel.
And not through Cain.
And not through Cain.
That's right.
Who else would it be?
Yes. Now, Adam had a lot of children. But that's what it is stated in the scripture there.
Yes.
And a lot of us think, well, I wonder, boy, you know, to draw a line straight down to Jesus is really kind of fun to
yes.
take a look at.
Have you ever, you still have that poster that has the whole tree of the family?
Yes, yes.
Those are really interesting, aren't they?
That, I don't know if Concordia Publishing House still sells that, but they should. What it is, it's all 12 sons.
Yes.
And the 12 tribes, of course. But if you start at the very top, Adam, and go straight down the center,
yes.
it comes right to Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got that poster somewhere
yeah,
in my office.
Yeah, I've got
stuffed
two
away somewhere in some crevice of my office.
Yeah, what I did is I laminated it.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really kind of nice. And it's great for showing people on the radio. No, that won't work, will it? No. But that's one of the best posters I've seen, and I wish they would advertise it more and people would purchase it. What do we call it? A genealogical poster,
uh-huh.
right?
From
Adam to Jesus.
Genealogy.
And off to the sides are all the tribes, and this is where I learned that Moses wasn't of the tribe of Jesus.
Let's see.
Wasn't he a Levite?
He was a Levite, exactly, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So you learn a lot about that, but guess who's in the line going down is, of course, David.
Of course, right.
David. And so you really understand the
and
book
he descended
of Ruth.
From Judah.
Yes, yes, the tribe of Judah. The importance of the book of Ruth, had Ruth not married Boaz,
right,
the line would have stopped.
That's right, yes. Isn't it interesting that a woman of Moab,
yes,
where they actually sacrificed children,
right,
you know, she was grafted in.
But that's because she came to faith
right.
through Ruth and her son, who she had married, and then returned with Ruth back to Israel.
Naomi.
Oh, yeah. Ruth returned with Naomi. That's right. The
okay,
bitter woman.
Yes, bitter woman, right.
Because she had nobody.
She lost all of her sons and she lost her husband.
Yes, and so Boaz, and then Boaz, his son was, you remember that?
Yeah, let's see. No, not Jesse, the grandfather of Jesse. Obed?
Yes.
Obed.
Very good.
Yes.
Obed, Jesse, David.
Right.
Yeah, in that line. So when we say Christ is the world's redeemer, he is the lover of the pure. In other words, he, as you said, loves the whole world, but he had made a decision that the world wouldn't go to eternal perdition.
And how are these people pure? On their own merit?
No.
No.
That's right.
Only in Christ.
So we'll find out if the hymn says that.
Right.
The font of heavenly wisdom, our trust and hope secure. What's a font?
Well, there's a baptismal font.
Yeah.
That's where, of course, we baptize little ones.
And so font would mean what?
I would, source of water.
Yeah, very good. You've got some places in the United States where water comes gushing
right.
out of the ground. Or where was I at? Yeah, some office buildings have beautiful water in front with a font going up.
Yes.
And all the geese walking around the sidewalks. Yes. The reason I mentioned that, we had that in front of this building.
It's pretty clear path this morning, though, you know. The sidewalks are pretty clear.
Well, I think they're figuring it out that the water's gone.
They pay somebody out there with a hose to hose it off, I guess.
Oh, boy, yes. Yeah, we have geese around the other side of the building because there's a big water thing. But there used to be a fountain right here.
Right, right.
A water thing. And
they don't forget that very easily.
No, they don't. Yes. But this is the font of heavenly wisdom. So if you think of a spring of water gushing out of the ground, Jesus is compared to that. Remember last week we were talking about all the things Jesus is compared to. He is a door. He's the truth. He's the life. He's
the
shepherd. I'm the gate. He's the lamb, etc.
And I am.
Well, now, and a mighty fortress. Well, now is a font of heavenly wisdom. And that wisdom has the goal of every sermon. And that is that your trust in those promises would give you a secure hope. Our trust and hope secure.
Yes.
See, the word secure here, maybe kids wouldn't understand that, but a sure hope.
A sure.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, in fact, last week's sermon, it talked about if you listen to the testimony of men and believe it, then the testimony of God is far greater. And so I made the point that, you know, if the kids here were going to McDonald's on Saturday, they really believe they're going. They have a sure hope because they trust their parents. But more sure is the content that you're going to heaven.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why the message of
sure
Jesus
and certain
is so
hope. That's why, you know, I always make the point that hope is not just, well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. The Christian hope is sure.
Yes, it's like somebody says, are you going to pass that course? And you say, I hope so.
Right.
That's not the hope we're talking about. No. Did you pass the course as you had hoped? Yes, my hope was sure because I passed it. The armor of his soldiers, the Lord of earth and sky. What's the armor of his soldiers doing?
I don't know, but it struck me as we were, you know, as we were listening to the melody of this hymn.
Yeah.
You know, it'd make a good hymn in a military chapel. You know what I mean?
Well, that's not bad.
The armor of his soldiers. It's got that kind of rousing.
Yes. Well, what is our armor?
Well, the whole armor of God.
Yes, and it's explained
the shield of faith,
the
helmet of salvation,
and what's
sword
the only
Spirit.
Offensive part of the armor?
The sword, sword of the Spirit.
Yeah, everything else is defensive,
right,
against the devil. But the sword of the Spirit is, of course, what Jesus used when he
dealt with the devil in the wilderness.
Yes, tempted three
it
times.
It is written. It is written.
Exactly.
And he had to flee the devil.
The Lord of earth and sky. That's just a way of talking about the whole universe. There isn't a area that he's not Lord of. Our health while we are living, our life when we shall die. Now, what does that mean, our health? Because some people get sick while they are living.
So, yeah, but we still have the spiritual health. That
exactly.
We still...
Well said.
You know.
Yes. And our life when we shall die. So even though we're going to die, we're going to still have that wonderful, good...
Eternal life.
Eternal life. That's why he's the world's redeemer. Not everybody in the world is going to go to heaven. So how can he be the world's redeemer?
He redeemed the whole world.
Yes.
Every last one of...
What
everyone's
does that mean?
Ever left.
Specifically?
He's atoned for all of their sins.
That's the point.
All of our sins have been atoned, even though there's a lot of ones that will never believe in him, reject him.
So the word atone needs to be explained. When we say he atoned for our sins, I understand it to mean that he paid the price.
Paid the price for every last one.
Yes. The curse was
the
upon
first
him.
Sin that, you know, the first sin, Adam and Eve's first sin,
yes.
And the last sin that can be committed on the last day.
All right, I'll read stanza 2. Christ has our host surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright, who wave their palms in triumph and fire us for the fight. than Christ the cross ascended to save a world undone and suffering for sinful, and suffering for the sinful, our full redemption won.
That's interesting. You know, I think this would make a good Ascension Day hymn, and it mentions how he ascended the cross. And in the next verse, he'll talk about how he ascended into heaven.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I never thought about that, the fact that he ascended the cross.
Well, he gives that comparison with what happened with Moses after the biting
right.
of the snake.
Right, right.
The Son of Man will be lifted up. Yeah, which is ascend to the cross. But his ascension was something that he did, but also the cross. That's not something he was forced to do. He willingly went the way of the cross.
Absolutely.
So Christ has our host surrounded with clouds of marchers bright. What does it mean, our host?
That's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the church.
Yes.
All believers. We think of us as being surrounded. You remember that beautiful picture in Pritzlaff Hall at the seminary where the saints are all surrounded by a host of enemies.
Angel.
You remember? No, enemies.
Enemies. Oh, really?
You know, I mean, hordes of attackers.
Oh, okay.
And there you see the saints right in the midst. Surrounded.
No, I can't recall that.
But I'm trying to think of the passage that where we have a host, we're surrounded by a host, where they're urging us on. We're running a race. What is that passage? Remember
I
that?
Don't recall
you can't
that
think
one.
That?
I think that'd be in First Thomas.
Oh.
I'll say that. There is no Bible verse. That one just doesn't come to mind.
Our host surrounded with clouds of martyrs bright.
Yes. There's no doubt that was one of Robert Price's favorite hymns about the last
Behold day. A host arrayed
yes.
in white. Yes,
I think that's
they sang
it.
That at his funeral. It,
yeah. It, isn't that the hymn you're talking about?
No, that's not the... I'm thinking of a passage.
Oh. Well, look
from
up
the New
that
Testament.
Hymn, and then it'll be at the bottom of the page. Stanza
Thank you, Tom.
3.
Down through the realm of darkness he strode in victory, and at the hour appointed he rose triumphantly, and now to heaven ascended he sits upon the throne whence he had never departed, his Father and his own. There you've got his descent down through the realm of darkness, his descent into hell.
Yeah,
he strode in victory, and it was not to suffer. He didn't go into hell to suffer.
No.
But the writer of this hymn understood he went in victory to
And then you got the resurrection.
And then you've got the hour appointed. He rose triumphantly from the grave and now to heaven ascended. So you've got the important parts of the creed right there.
Kind of what we're going to be going to. And the one that's missing, but it is somewhat found in the last verse, is Pentecost.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's there.
So we're right near the end of this part of the church year where we had the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. You
right.
having an ascension service Thursday night?
We do it on the following Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come we don't make more about his descent into hell? That's
more
kind
of his descent
well,
into
you know,
hell.
I mean, hey, we confess it in the creed. But,
well, yeah.
You know, we don't have, you know, that's not an...
We don't have
that,
a festival.
That's an emphasis that is kind of lost. You know what I mean? Don't you?
Well, it all
once
depends.
In a while, it all depends upon the preacher on Easter Sunday.
That's right, because yeah. it would have been done.
Have
Easter
you ever
Sunday.
Have you ever stressed that emphasis in your Easter preaching? His descent into hell.
You have to, because a lot of people think his descent into hell occurred on Good Friday.
Right. Right. Well,
that's not what
he suffered
the
hell.
Is talking about it's
no,
talking about Easter Sunday.
Right.
Yes. And I always stress the translations are horrible where it says he preached. No, he proclaimed. It's
proclaimed.
A different Greek word.
Yeah.
Proclaim victory. It's the same word used in that marathon, that Greek story about the marathon
yes.
runner.
Yes.
And he got back and
proclaimed
victory.
And he proclaimed the victory.
Then he died
mm-hmm.
after the 24-hour,
yeah.
24-mile run. That's how we got a marathon from that
uh-huh.
Greek story. All right, last stanza.
Glory to God the Father, the unbegotten one, All honor be to Jesus, his sole begotten Son. And to the Holy Spirit, the perfect Trinity, let all the worlds give answer. Amen. So let it be. You know, isn't there more emphasis on, well, you've got the Holy Spirit there, but I thought there was a reference to Pentecost somewhere in this hymn, but I don't see it now.
I thought
I saw it earlier.
You did?
Thought so.
Oh, boy.
Down through the victory, the hour point, he rose triumphant, and now to heaven ascended, he sits. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of another hymn. I was looking at another hymn this morning. That's what I must be thinking of.
I'm taking a look at the Latin here. It does say in the Latin, and to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Perfect One.
The Perfect Trinity.
Yes. It doesn't have the word Trinity in the Latin. But it then does go on with the Amen. Mm-hmm. It helps us understand what the word Amen means.
Yes. Yes, yes, it shall be so.
Yes, yeah, so let it be. When we say Amen at the end of a hymn, we're actually making a vow that I believe what I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And remember what we've been saying, especially with some of the hymns. Luther's hymns are always sermonic. And so if you're ever wondering how to witness to somebody, just open up one of Luther's hymns and start speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, Pentecost, yeah. in a lot of them. And, we had made a mistake last week.
Did you use the one last week, the hymn of the day last week?
Oh, yeah.
The one that we
for
went
communion.
Over? Yeah, I was. We used that.
Yeah.
We used the first five verses.
We made a mistake, though, saying that it was written in memory of two martyrs. And Henry Gehrke met me here.
Oh, he corrected you.
Yes, he corrected me. And I said, no, look, I'll show you. And I opened up the thing. And what it was saying is in another hymn, Martin Luther had done this with two martyrs.
Uh-huh.
And then Henry gave me a book on what he had kind of written on Luther's hymns. So we're going to be a lot more better prepared than we were last week.
I'd like to meet Henry Gehrke. I never met him.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You've never been to Reformation?
Well.
Kelsey's Church.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't had opportunity to meet him.
And every now and then, well, Henry plays a lot here.
I know.
Yeah. And I think that's why he had come in. But so we'll be more prepared on Luther's hymns. You're the one who doesn't know it's Luther's hymns.
Oh, no,
I'm
no,
the one
no.
who
don't,
says,
don't pin it on me.
Oh, that was what it was done for, and it wasn't. Yes.
You know, Henry Gehrke wrote the other hymn that I was studying this morning, Up Through the Endless Ranks of Angels.
Yes.
It's an ascension hymn.
He's done a lot of the tunes,
uh-huh.
too. The melodies and such in this hymnal.
A marvelous hymnist.
No, yeah. I actually.
He's in your class, right?
No. We'll explain all this later. I'm Tom Baker, and you've been listening to Law and Gospel. Tomorrow is Insight Wednesday, where we'll have a better program because Mark isn't going to be here. No, I don't mean that. We had a good program. All right. Insight Wednesday tomorrow. On how to tell if a Christian understands Christianity. There's something you can ask him. We'll talk about it tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.